When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If you enjoy deep dives into solved and unsolved murder cases, then Murder True Crime Stories is the podcast for you. Find Murder True Crime Stories on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This may surprise you, but earlier today, Cody Bellinger had his Zoom meeting, being introduced as a New York Yankee, and nobody asked about, you know, him and Giancarlo. The fact that they, Cody's married to Giancarlo's ex, that whole thing. Never brought up, right. Which is understandable to say the least.
Of course they're not bringing that up. That's personal.
It's very personal. Speaking of personal, are you in a role-playing team?
I mean, I guess so.
You gave a lot on that. The answer is yes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to role-play with you just a little bit.
All right, let's hear it.
For those that are not aware, one of the, and to me, the biggest thing that came out of the Athletic piece on the New York Jets earlier this morning was this little excerpt that I'll read to you, and then me and Teak are going to role-play, and it's going to be hot. The Johnsons' family behavior inside the locker room has also been an issue, blah, 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 blah. In 2022, quarterback Mike White played through broken ribs in a late-season game against the Seahawks with postseason hopes on the line. White played poorly. The Jets lost and were eliminated from playoff contention. After the game, with the quarterback in the showers after throwing his helmet to the locker room floor, multiple Jet players said they heard Woody Johnson say, quote, "You should throw your helmet. You bleeping suck."
Oh, jeez.
The statement got back to White. The team spokesperson said Johnson apologized to the quarterback, who declined to comment for this story. So I don't want to do this to Wellington Mara because he's too classy to ever do this, so I'm going to actually change our role playing.
Okay.
Tiki was drafted by the Jets, ladies and gentlemen. He's a lifelong New York Jet. And
right, because Wellington would never do that. You know
exactly
what Wellington would do after every game, win or lose?
Give you a hug?
He would come by your locker and shake your hand.
That's classy. That's classy stuff.
Every game.
That's why I wouldn't use Wellington in this role play, because it's just too crazy. It's just, it's not fair.
Right.
So, role play. Tiki Barber is a New York Jet.
Mm.
It's a big December game in 1999, and the Jets lose the game on a Tiki, not one Tiki Barber fumble, three Tiki Barber fumbles. It was a rough day for you, bro.
Yeah, when I fumbled three times, we won the game, though.
Well, this is an alternate universe. You're on the Jets, bro. It goes differently. Oh, we suck. So you are now in the locker room. You're very upset.
Okay.
Yeah, you've uttered those phrases. I'm not sure if you acted that way after games, but you may have. I'd understand. Hey, I suck.
No.
And
do you think I act that way after games?
You're probably calm. Okay.
When am I ever not?
You're right. You're calm. I'm going to role play differently.
Go ahead.
Tiki's in the locker, calm. I'm Woody Johnson. I stand up. I was like, "Hey, Barber, you know you should throw your helmet. You should show emotion because you bleeping suck."
Mm.
How would you handle that?
I would say, let's go take a long walk down a short alley.
Go kiss ass.
Oh, Woody, let's have a conversation, you and I. And then I'd say, trade me right now. Otherwise, I'm beating your ass. No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't say that. But you know what? You can understand why a guy would be upset about that.
Yeah.
And by the way, not just him, but everybody in the locker room should be upset about that.
Yeah.
Because that's your teammate you're talking about. And they loved Mike White. You know, whether or not he was good or not, it doesn't matter. But they loved that kid. And now you're going to go disparage him in front of everybody?
Well, I think what made it worse, too, is that he was playing injured, which we all knew.
Yeah.
He was playing with the rib injury.
I remember when they tasked him to start that game. You just knew it was going to end in disaster.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't healthy.
Of course. We all knew it.
Right.
I think that's the most egregious thing. And for those that have argued with me, because I've had these arguments with friends offline, that, hey, this story is a fake story. It's not real. It's just Diana Russini and Zach Rosenblatt have an axe to grind. First of all, I think that's ridiculous. But second of all, this story is confirmed by a team spokesperson.
Right.
Like, this team spokesperson says Johnson apologized. Like, yeah, this happened. In fact, Woody went out of his way to tell Mike White he's sorry. So of all the things that you choose not to believe, and we do live in that world now where we choose not to believe things that we just don't want to believe. Unfortunately, that's not the way the world works. Just because you don't want it to be true doesn't make it not true. Mm-hmm. But to me, this is the most egregious thing. Going into your locker room and expressing that a player bleeping sucks.
Yeah.
I think that is far worse than the Madden rating thing, which I think is just being blown up more so than it should be. I think this is far and away the worst thing ever.
Mike White in that game was 23 of 46, 240 yards and two interceptions.
You know why? Because he bleeping sucked. That is absolutely.
And he was sacked four times.
Yeah. I mean, he got his butt kicked. And I would assume nothing like that has ever happened in any locker room been involved in.
I'm sure that it has.
In your locker room, though?
Not in our locker room. No chance. Because we had a classy owner.
But do players say that to each other ever? I can imagine that happening.
No, not really.
Really?
Not in the moment. You process it and then you talk about it the next day. I know Seattle was like that to an extent. Right, the
what do you mean?
Legion of Boom.
Oh, that they would
Seahawks.
Talk that way to
now,
each other?
No, they were good. So when they would have an off day, it would get like contentious.
Right.
Meaning an off game day, even though they were this way in practice too. They would trash talk each other all the time. And it's how they created their accountability. It was chaos, but it worked.
Right.
Because they had the personalities that could handle it. And I think that's half the problem, is that when you go in, like certain guys, you can tell them, you know what, dude, you suck.
Right.
And they'll take it for what it is.
Right.
They'll say, you know what, you're right.
Yeah.
I suck. Right, let's figure out how to get better. Or, that makes me mad, I'm going to make myself get better. Other guys, it's like, dude, why are you disparaging me?
Right.
Why are you cutting me down? Like Tua with
Brian Flores.
Right? It's that whole, you got to know the player.
Right.
And if you don't, and you're just indiscriminately calling people out and telling them they suck, you have no idea what effect that's going to have, not just on him, but for the rest of the locker room.
I will give you one more little role-playing exercise. And, of course, we'll get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. You have just led the New York Jets to an incredible victory. Tiki Barber plays amazing, and you're the captain of the team. You're the only guy in the room that people respect. Everyone else, you know, whatever. And you now hold a football in your hands, and you are about to present said football to your head coach.
Okay, because we've won the game.
You've won the game. This is the coach's first ever victory, and Captain Tiki Barber is about to hand the ball to the coach. Okay? You're walking over. You're about to make the speech, and then all of a sudden, let's just say the owner's son, let's call him Brick Johnson, walks in, makes his own speech, and hands the ball to Amani Toomer, who, by the way, also played really well. It's nothing against Amani.
Right.
Your response in this role play would be what?
Who the heck are you? What in the hell are you doing here? Excuse me, kid. Let's take a long walk down a short hall.
Would you threaten him too, by the way?
No. Nah. Be like, that. Just stay at the end of the hall. We'll come get you when you're needed.
Yes.
Type of thing.
And that is also what happened. A significant moment. Rodgers walked into the locker room after the victory against the Texans on Halloween, game ball in hand, and he was getting ready to give the ball to Jeff Ulbrich. Very customary gesture when a coach gets his first NFL win, according to The Athletic. But before Rodgers could speak, young Brick Johnson took another game ball and awarded it to wide receiver Garrett Wilson in a profanity-laced explanation, which the owner's son later posted to Instagram. Woody Johnson then gave Ulbrich the ball, and Rodgers had been holding. Multiple players say the energy felt drained out of the room. It was the most awkward, cringeworthy, brutal experience, according to one player.
Yeah, you got to be able to read the room. Actually, know your place in the room is more important.
Yeah,
that's the bigger issue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's not defined what their place in the room is, which shouldn't be at all, but whatever. I guess they're allowed to do whatever they want because of the owner's kid, but you have to define that. You can't let someone who those players have very little idea who they are and have no respect for because they're not their coach, they're not the owner, and they're taking control. That's bad form, man.
Yes, it is.
That's really bad form.
Not as bad as Woody telling Mike White that he bleeping sucks.
Yeah, but I don't mind that less.
Really?
Absolutely.
This one's worse.
Because he's the owner. Huh. And he has ownership over the product.
Right.
And you were terrible with those two interceptions he threw. 50% completion percentage, 5.2 yards per attempt. Right? He's not wrong.
Right.
But he's the owner.
So that one actually...
And you know who he is.
So that one is not as bad as the owner's kid.
Yeah.
Usurping Aaron Rodgers' post-game speech.
Mm.
Interesting. Yeah. It's a bingo of badness, I'll tell you that. But hopefully this bingo of badness will focus Woody Johnson on not doing this anymore.
Can we get a little... setting a rule about what can and cannot be done in the locker room.
No question.
I was just saying, can we get a little in-between here? Because on one hand, we have a really, really nice owner that says, we've done everything we can to fail a kid, and he ends up here for 6 years. And on the other hand, you get an owner saying, you bleeping suck, and then the quarterback's gone. Can I get a little in-between, maybe?
Yeah.
Take a little of both owner, and then we're good with the quarterback position?
I mean, you can't fault owners for having their favorites.
No, I don't.
Right? Because it's people that they players that they gravitate to. Wellington Mara loved Jeremy Shockey. I had a good relationship with him as well. You could clearly tell the Giants had a reverence for Daniel Jones.
Right.
It was obvious. It was obvious the day that they released him when I was there. I told you guys this. I hope I explained it, I don't know, emotionally enough. Every person, and I mean every person in that organization who I ran into that day said, we love Daniel Jones. And I'm talking from John Mara to Jose, who's the maintenance guy there. And it just, it was emotional.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes you have favorites.
Well, hey, let me ask you this about favorites real quick. Because here's where there's a weird spot to be in. We don't like when owners have favorites. What if I told you Steve Cohen, the owner of the New York Mets, is on the phone right now with David Stern saying, you better get it done with Pete. There'd be a lot of Met fans cheering along,
yeah,
saying, yeah, right?
Right.
Lugie would be cheering along.
Definitely.
I'd be conflicted because I don't want my owner to do that, but ultimately I want Pete Alonso back. So isn't it more if you like the player as a fan than if you're bothered by the owner playing favorites? Because if we all want back, you want the player back.
Right.
I think accidentally talking this out, I just thought of kind of a bigger issue with the Giants. It's okay to play favorites, but it stinks when your favorite ends up being, like, he's not good enough to talent wise.
Well,
the
field,
you
that's
know?
The like, ultimate problem.
Because then that totally sets back a franchise.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, because when you're making decisions based on that and not.
You just mentioned
objectively.
Shocking. Like, we'd have to worry about any of those guys.
Yeah, because he was great.
Right. So when you love a guy who ends up not being great and then you hold on too long, that is the franchise killer, not the pick itself.
And also for anyone out there who is a Giant fan, who's mad because they believe John Mara played favorites with Daniel Jones, I ask you this, because sometimes the two teams, like various teams, can help you get to the right answer. If you're a Met fan and you want Pete Alonso back, and David Stern's maybe privately saying, I don't want him back.
Yeah.
Do you want Steve Cohen to intercede?
Yes. He owns the team.
Yeah.
Look at that. See?
No. Well, he's David Stern's boss.
I can't imagine that David Stern's evaluates the first baseman market in free agency right now, or even the farm system, and says, I have a better option than Pete Alonso. I think the issue is what's it going to cost?
Right.
I think that's the only issue.
But who's making
it's not
this?
Like he's not good enough. I don't want him from a baseball, like a construction standpoint. Is this going to be too expensive?
Right, and also, hey, I prefer the first baseman that's available next year. But the point is, David Stearns, of course Steve Cohen's his boss, just like John Mara's the boss of Joe Shane, just like Woody Johnson's the boss of Joe Douglas. We all know they have a right to do it. Like, I get it. No one needs to explain that. Yes, Woody Johnson has the right to do this. John Mara has the right to do that. We all know that. Steve Cohen has the right to do this. But this always comes down to what you want as a fan. Met fans right now, for the most part, want Pete Alonso back.
Yeah.
Do you want Steve Cohen pulling what is being accused of John Mara?
So, but why is it that the fan wants Pete back? Is it one, because he was homegrown, or two, he's the best option?
I think both.
Yeah, you just want to feel good about
it. I think there's a myriad of reasons you want him back, but do you really want the owner stepping in?
What's wrong with Steve Cohen if this is the case? I'm assuming you're saying this is actually the case. Why is that wrong for him to want that?
Because isn't it a healthy organization, as we just talked about with Woody and John Mara, that the GM makes the calls? You don't want an owner stepping out of bounds until you agree with them.
Mm.
That's the reality. It's like politics now.
Yeah.
You don't want an athlete talking about politics till you agree with them. that it's cool.
Right.
You don't want your owner getting involved until you agree with him. And Tommy, I love you. I think you're the biggest hypocrite walking because you just admitted you want Steve Cohen to intercede on Pete Alonso. I guarantee as a Giant fan, you don't want John Mara interceding on Daniel Jones if he did. Would you be good with that?
No, but I also look at Cohen and Stearns as a great marriage because Cohen is the guy that's going to shell out the bucks. David Stearns is the guy.
John Mara doesn't spend money?
No. But it's not like he hired Joe Shane from Buffalo in a way. He hired those guys to build what they built with the Bills. Stearns was hired to sort of offset Cohen a little bit, but I think there are times where Steve... Do we know David Stearns wanted Juan Soto?
Oh, you mean hold him back. Like, hold back.
Hold him back, right. And then other times Steve goes, no, we're putting the gas to the, foot on the gas here.
Yeah,
so that's
the way,
that marriage. It's not always going to work, but I like the marriage.
I will answer your question. Yes, David Stearns wanted Juan Soto.
You're confirming that here?
I mean...
For this price?
I mean...
For everything? For a suite, too?
He wanted Juan Soto.
Okay.
I could tell you that.
Does he want Pete Alonso?
I didn't tell you how much he wanted to spend. I couldn't get that out of him. I'd love to tell you. I tried when I met with him. I cannot tell you.
You're talking about on Pete.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants Pete Alonso back.
Well, reckless speculation. He didn't answer it, and they haven't signed him yet, so that tells me he probably doesn't.
Yeah, but...
I think he wants him back at the right price.
I think right now we're finding... We're re-remembering why we hate baseball free agency.
Because it takes forever?
It takes forever. This was in the Mets chat earlier today, and I completely agreed with it. It's so maddening. Because for a minute, it felt like, oh, hey, this is like football.
Yeah, yeah.
We're getting stuff done, like, quickly. Like, we're making moves, pivoting when we don't get the guy that we want, and then it just crawls again.
Yeah, no, you're right. All I know is... You don't want your owner interfering until you do. That's ultimately what we've learned from this exercise. Right. And I appreciate you, Tommy, being the perfect guinea pig.
Don't interfere until you're giving us what we actually really want.
Exactly. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. What's up, Josh?
What's happening, Josh?
Hey, guys. I agree with Tiki about it being a bigger deal that you have these teenagers busting into the locker room. And, I just think that when other free agents hear this, and possibly even other coaching candidates, I mean, I know there's only 32 jobs in the NFL, but you can almost look at the Jets like it's a death sentence in a way, because if it goes the way it did for, Salah might find a coordinator job, maybe Joe Douglas gets into a front office somewhere, but they're not going to be GMs or head coaches again after what went down here the way it did. And so I just think it's going to, especially if they trade Garrett Wilson now, if he asks for a trade, like I've heard rumblings about that. I just don't see why players want to come play for this organization.
Well, okay, so a couple of things.
The free agents. I mean, it'll be a money thing.
Yeah, well, isn't it always?
Yeah.
It's a money thing.
In football, it ultimately is because you don't have guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, the Garrett Wilson thing, by the way, is, and I like Rich Cimini, is educated speculation that Garrett Wilson could ask for a trade.
I don't think there's any intel on that.
Right, he could ask for a trade. Sure, he could. I mean, let's see what the Jets are looking like once they hire a head coach and their decision on quarterback. I do think that the Jets are a bad team, and so if you're a free agent and you have a similar money offer between the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Jets, you're taking the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
I agree. I think that's a hindrance. I think stories like this about Woody being involved certainly don't help, but I think Tiki nailed it. Most of the time when you offer a guy the most money, they're going to come to your team. The question's going to be the head coach. That's the real question. Mike Vrabel is the apple of everybody's eye, and I think it makes sense why he is. What does Mike Vrabel want out of his next head coaching job? And it's a very important question.
Right.
Is it power? Is it money? Is it the current roster? Like, what is he going to look at and say, that gets me to take that job?
I think the biggest thing for Vrabel, I've only called a couple of games with him as head coach. Know him a little bit. Came to Rondé's Hall of Fame event. It was awesome. Hanging out, pounded beers with him. It was great.
Right.
But I think he wants some place where he's going to have... not control over the roster, but the kind of players he wants.
Okay.
Right? Well, it's not this, I'm getting this guy because I think he fits exactly. We have to do this collaboratively. And so it's why it's been a good sign that Robinson, John Robinson, is somewhat on the radar here, because it tells you that they're at least thinking about what Mike Vrabel might want.
No, absolutely. And that's why, like, the Chicago Bears on paper, well, why wouldn't he go there, you know? Well, maybe he looks at Ryan Poles and says, I'm not going to have the influence and power I want.
Or I just don't like how he builds a team.
Maybe. Or that.
Because, there's detail in that, right? You look at these general managers, and they have, just like a coach or a quarterback has a
a personality or like a, I don't know, a book on themselves, general managers do as well.
Yeah.
And so you know what type of team general managers try to build.
Right. No, so, you're right. But that's the hope. So when someone asks, like, hey, after a story like this, why would Mike Vrabel take the job? It's a fair worry. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could look at this and say, I don't want to work there.
Well, he'd take the job because it's one of 32.
Right, but he's one of those guys that have choices. There are some guys who, I agree with you, like, you may not get another opportunity. You got to go do it.
Yeah.
But I think in Vrabel's case, he's almost like the cat's patoot right now. He gets to pick what he wants.
Yeah, but how many are, what are there, four?
He could wait another year.
Yeah.
He could. Look, I'm just being honest. Like, he doesn't have to take any job. But what he's looking for is the thing we don't know.
Right.
He could look at this roster as a defensive guy and say, oh, my God, I need this. You kidding me? I get the coach Sauce Gardner.
Right.
Okay.
There's only two open, right?
As of right now?
Yeah.
Well, the New Orleans Saints is technically open because they have an interim head coach.
They have an interim.
So you've got a bunch if you include the interims. And then we're assuming about the next guy's fired because there'll be more. And there'll be a surprise or two mixed in there.
Technically three. New Orleans, the Jets,
and Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any other open spot as of right now, but there'll be more. I think it'll be six or seven, right?
Yeah, maybe, but it feels like McCarthy might stay. I mean, I don't know about Dabes. It might not. It might only be four.
I'm going to whisper one.
Who?
Miami. Mm.
Why do you think that? They still have a shot.
Because they realize that Mike McDaniel's an overrated fraud. That's
his record versus winning teams over 500 is like 3-and-forever.
Yeah.
And I think the step back this year and the future of Tua, I could see it.
I haven't. By the way, I've said a lot of harsh things about Mike McDaniel. It's nothing is personal. I'm sure he's a good dude. Mm-hmm. He's got a very inspirational story. I will endorse Mike McDaniel to be Mike Vrabel's offensive coordinator. I'm good. I will bring him in.
You want Tua to be your quarterback? It feels like Tua's the only one that can run his offense.
I actually don't mind Tua. I've always been a Tua supporter.
And you said Mike Vrabel's the what again? The cat's
patoot.
It's the cat's meow.
Yeah, patoot's better though.
Well, patoot's a butt, so you just call Mike Vrabel.
You don't want to be the cat's butt?
No, you want to be the cat's meow because it's sexy and it's like, ooh, meow.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the ass. Right? Well,
there's a lot of meows that are like growly.
Don't cats have like really clean ones?
They have very clean tuchuses, yeah.
There is no such thing. What, they have a bidet? How do you know that?
There's no such thing as a clean whatever. I thought there is in sand.
No, here's why.
Like, dogs have, like, there's a terrible.
Yeah, dogs are dirty and disgusting. Right. Here's what cats do. I'll tell you a little secret. I love my dog. I don't mean Dudley's disgusting.
But
I mean,
you had a
dirty
cat, too.
Yeah, I'm about to tell you something about cats that you don't know. So,
that,
I swear to God, their saliva is like soap.
No,
I'm not kidding you. Look it up. Google it.
Saliva, their mouths are so small. I don't even think they have saliva.
Tommy, when they lick themselves, they are cleaning themselves because their saliva that's coming out of their tongue is like detergent.
So if you know the story, they're like Moises Alou when
the
he had
saliva
sores on his hand.
Of a cat contains enzymes that can break down bacteria, making it sort of, quote, spit soap.
Told you. I don't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of weird crap, and don't challenge me.
It reminds me of Batman with, who was Catwoman in that
movie? Michelle Pfeiffer.
Either
Pfeiffer or look at herself.
Anne Hathaway.
That was kind of hot, though.
Okay. Halle Berry.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. We'll also tell you something you may not know, how this week in the NFL, beginning tonight, could be like no other week in the history of the National Football League. And then Tiki on the phone. We'll get back to your calls in a minute, man. Tiki's going to join us in less than an hour. Tiki's going to find this fascinating. Sean will roll his eyes. Loogie will fall asleep. And I think half the audience will now have something to tell their family members when they're hanging out over the weekend. If the following four things happen, and I don't think they're that crazy, we are going to have something in the NFL that has not happened since the 1970 merger, okay?
Yeah.
Do you know what that is?
No.
You're right. Are you going to use this on your broadcast? Now, it starts with the Chargers winning tonight. So I admit it could be blown up this evening.
The San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles?
Correct. Okay. That's how I call them now. If the Chargers beat the Broncos, reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
If the Titans beat the Colts, a little bit of an upset, but could happen. If the Niners beat the Dolphins and the Browns beat the Bengals, if all of that happens, every single AFC playoff spot will be locked up, period. It's over.
Wow, before with 2 weeks to go.
Never happened.
No.
There has never been a conference with every playoff spot locked up with 2 weeks to go. And the NFL, since the merger, because you never want to go before that because it's just different, less team, all that. It's never happened.
And there are seven playoff teams, not six, not five. There's more, which I think makes it even more uncommon to have happen. But we would actually have 2 weeks. Now, granted, there are seeds on the line, and of course that means something.
Yeah.
You know, Buffalo could still be the number one seed, things like that. But if those four things happen for the first time in the history of this sport, at least since the merger, it'll all be over with 2 weeks to play. Is that not crazy?
Yeah, well, it's kind of exactly what the NFL didn't want. Because they expanded the postseason so that everybody would be in it.
Right.
At least in theory, not everybody.
Everyone would have a chance to be in it.
Well, you know, there's going to be some teams that stink, and they're going to have five wins at this point of the year, and they're not in the conversation. But when you go to seven games, you want even the bottom teams in the conference to be competing for something.
Right.
Right? Hey, we still have a shot. We're mathematically not eliminated. But there's already been this happened 2 weeks ago. There's a bunch of teams that were eliminated 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
And I've had this feeling all year, and I kind of been transparent. I thought maybe it was slanted that I'm a Giant fan, and this is how bad the year's been. But I feel like this has been the most boring NFL season I can remember in the last 20 years.
Yeah, because there's so many teams that are just bad.
Yeah, there's so many bad teams. And there's, to that point, there's no drama. Like, I think basically outside of the NFC West, you basically know everybody that's going.
I think that the NFL, for one of the first times in my life, and we still love it, it still gets massive ratings, so this is not a problem.
Right.
This is the closest the NFL has ever felt to the NBA.
Yeah.
And that just get me to the playoffs.
Right.
That's
interesting.
You know who's good. You know the teams are loaded, and you're like, yeah, can you get me to that Buffalo-Kansas City playoff game? Can you get me to Philadelphia-Detroit? And obviously there may be upsets along the way, but it feels like there's a disparity that makes it like, let's just get to the playoffs.
And you know what it is? It's the teams that have the star quarterback. Or really, let's look at the downside, the negative side. It's a team that you know have a quarterback issue.
Right.
Raiders have a quarterback issue. Giants have a quarterback issue. New England has a young quarterback, and it's just a bad roster. Cleveland has a quarterback issue. Tennessee has a quarterback issue.
Only one AFC team.
Jacksonville has a quarterback. I'm just saying, go through all the teams, and you're like, I have no idea if that guy who's starting this game this weekend is going to be their quarterback next year.
To further your point, because you're spot on in the AFC, of all the teams missing the playoffs, they all have questions at quarterback except for one, the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. That's it. Everyone else, you're right about. Like, there's a either question or they've got a young player, like in the case of New England with Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's certainly a line of demarcation, but it has created what has been, I agree with you, a rather boring NFL regular season. But here's the good news. It sets up an epic postseason because I cannot wait to watch some of this.
Well, yeah, but you also, the only thing that I worry about, not worry about because I don't really care, my team's not in it, but you could get some bad playoff games.
You could.
Because there's teams, and I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs have had 10 one-score games.
Right.
And they've won all of them. All of them. At some point when they're playing the better teams, now they've won one-score games against good teams like Buffalo, but at some point it's going to come to roost.
Well, let me ask you a hypothetical. Right now, season ends today. Here are your AFC playoff matchups. Tell me if it's a good game or a bad game. In fact, we could borrow something from the great Al Dukes and Jerry Recco. Is this a cool game or a non-cool game? By the way, more on Al and Jerry later because they had a great debate about Tiki Barber earlier today.
Lovely.
And I can't wait to play it for you.
Lovely.
That's good. You'll like it.
I imagine it is.
Trust me. You're not going to be like, shut up. You'll be like, oh, okay. All right. Chargers-Bills. Is that appealing? Or are the Bills going to kill him?
Well, I mean, the Buccaneers just destroyed the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bills are going to kill him.
So that's a bad game to you?
I mean, it's a good game because of the quarterbacks, and you never know. And I think that's actually a good game.
Okay. Steelers-Broncos. The Russell Wilson returns game. Who thought of that?
Interestingly, that's a good game, too.
And then Texans-Ravens. That's not bad.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the Texans are playing above themselves.
Okay.
Their offensive line is so incredibly bad, and it's masked because they're winning their division by three games.
So the Ravens will kill them.
I think they'll destroy them.
There's your one done. Now, NFC, right now, if it ends today, by the way, this one is my favorite one. The Washington Commanders against the Philadelphia Eagles. What up?
Well, I mean, it's a division game.
I love that.
So it's definitely a good game.
That's a great game.
We actually get that this weekend.
Yeah, and that would be the in-line playoff matchup. All right, Green Bay Packers against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Good game.
Good game.
Yeah.
And then finally, the LA Rams against the Minnesota Vikings.
I don't know. That's a maybe game for me. I don't know about the Rams.
All I know is all those playoff matchups, I'm getting excited. Yeah. Like, I'm good with all of them.
What game screams Saturday 4:30?
I'm not saying that they're bad, Matt. They're bad teams. I'm saying a lot of these teams are smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, I get you.
So I can look at it on paper and say, oh, yeah, that's a good matchup. But you could get just like a dud.
Yeah. I think the Saturday 4:30 one, it's not obvious, but maybe the Texans against the Ravens probably. Yeah.
Lamar still a draw. I think the Bronco-Steeler game.
No, it's the Steelers. You're dead wrong. Steelers. Steelers are a big draw. That's America's team.
Right.
It's not the Cowboys. It's the Steelers.
And you're also given, you have to start acknowledging Sean Payton.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You know what?
You have to.
Evan's right, though. The Texans, Saturday 4:30. That's basically the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
It's like a tradition. You're right. Mm. All I know is, yes, this has been a Dudley. I'm thinking of my dog. Yeah. I was going to say dud. A dud of a regular season.
Yeah.
The playoffs are going to be freaking awesome.
You're by the way, right.
I have a Christmas assignment for everybody. Mm. You like Christmas assignments?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
You'd be a horrible teacher.
And by the way, I found out why you guys have not got my Christmas cards.
Yeah.
Tracy didn't send them.
She's waiting.
No, she's not sending them.
Oh, she aborted the mission this year?
Aborted the mission.
Oh, so good.
I'll bring them in for you.
Wait, she still made them, but she's not sending them?
Yeah.
Handing them out.
Handing them out.
Doesn't trust the postal service. I don't blame her.
No, she just doesn't want to send them. So it's like, if I see you and I'll give it to you. If not, sorry.
Well, this is an interesting case today. I was going to give her a lot of credit because you know what? Screw the man, right? Like, you don't want to send them out, don't send them out. But to have a maid and not send them out. Yeah. Halfway there.
It's a handout situation.
She just got busy and it was just like, I don't feel like going to the, because there's a bunch of them.
You know what? Tracy sounds a lot like the Giants offense the first half of the year. We can get to the 20. We're not getting the end zone.
All right.
Do you want to hear the Christmas assignment? By the way, the Christmas assignment is so that you're prepared when the new year starts.
Do you think?
That's all I'm saying.
Do you think that this show, none of us are going to be prepared?
Some of you. Some of you may not. By the way, it's a fun assignment. It's actually something to debate with your family and friends. I call it rank the route. Do you know what that means?
No.
Rank the route.
Rank the route.
Rank the route. You're going to take the 14 playoff teams in the AFC and the NFC, the expected playoff teams, and you're going to rank who you're rooting for the most, 1 through 14. So a lot of that's easy. Like for you, the Eagles are 14th. That's easy.
You're definitely
dead set against them. But you rank the route. And I can't ask you that now because you do it off the top of your head. It's not a good list. It's just
Chiefs
not.
Chiefs are one.
Okay.
Really?
I didn't ask you for the list card.
Oh, yeah. I want the three-peat.
Yeah.
You're ruining a conversation for. What are you doing?
Oh, because it just shows you, Evan, we're prepared.
Yeah, we're prepared. You don't need this for.
You're not prepared. You're going to give spurts of it. You got to have it 1 through 14 ready to go.
It's funny because it's like all personal reasons.
Of course it is.
Because when I put Tampa on the list, I'd be like, oh, it's because it's Rondé. And Baker Mayfield's the man. Well, how about Jordan Love? Yeah, he's going to marry my teammate's daughter.
What?
Of course. I told you this.
Jordan Love's marrying your teammate's daughter?
Yeah, Ron Stone's daughter is
you know
is
what? Yeah, you're right. You're right.
To Jordan Love.
So that makes Ronica. You root for the Green Bay Packers?
I like Veronica, and I like Ron Stone.
No, you're a very...
I've known her since he was a kid.
Do you think if you're a man and your last name's Love, there's more expected out of you in a romantic relationship?
That's a very good question. And your first name's Jordan, like a goat?
That's magic right there.
Good. You're almost punished by name.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
Very. That's probably the best point you've made in the last 6 months. Good for you. Now
What is going on the last couple days? Everybody's taking runs.
What's your name?
Work on your rank the route now, please. Thank you.
But hold on a second.
Write that whole thing down.
You're giving us homework.
No, I want to go to calls now.
You're giving
us
homework over the Christmas break or holiday break?
You don't have to do it. We don't care about your opinion on it. I'm just kidding.
How about people just go away for
honestly,
a couple
days? Honestly, I could do it in 20 minutes.
Yeah, you could do it in 20 minutes if you like. Look, some people's homework assignment, they think about it. They take pride in it. Some people are just like, I already know it. I don't need it.
And
if you don't want to do it, if you guys don't want to do it, it's fine. Whoever wants to do it, we'll do it. If you don't, you don't do it.
We'll do it. Loogie's got to take some time off the David Lee podcast to do it, but he'll get it done.
The question I have for Tommy is, if I come across something on December 27th that I will eventually want to bring up on the radio to you, and I send audio, should I wait to send the audio till January 2nd, or can I just send it right away just so it's there?
You can, but just know when you send it to me on the 27th, I am cursing you under my breath.
But why are you cursing me? All you got to do is just have it in your text messages and then it
goes
away.
Because my feeling is like, and I never do, I don't think, but I might forget about it by January 2nd. I might get lost in the shuffle if
then
you
I
and
won't
I
send it.
Text
then I won't
about
send it.
Something else.
Then I will send it. Well, we're not going to text about something else.
How do you know? What am I to you? Just an audio thing that you just send audio to?
It's the opposite. What am I to you? You never text us when we're away.
Because like I believe in separation.
No, so that's my point. You can go give all your reasons. We're not texting because you won't text us, so you don't have to worry about it. I'll wait till January 1st. Like, on New Year's Day,
when I'm like
January
waking
2nd.
Up.
And if there's something you need to say, you say it to all of us anyways.
Of course.
Exactly.
Just put it in the group.
We're family.
There would never be a personal message to Tommy anyway.
Right.
Should we stop talking to each other?
We don't. We won't, though.
On the 24th on, nothing in our chat at all?
Guarantee there'll be messages.
Yeah,
definitely
I agree.
Will be.
Guarantee. And it may not be me, but it's definitely going to be you. In fact, if I was ranking the likelihood of who texts, Loogie's out, I would say Sean is number one. And I think me and Tiki are, like, tied.
Mm-hmm. You're probably right. I'm a chatterbox. I like talking. Right. But also, I like you guys. So.
Do you want to take a break? Is that what you're asking?
I didn't know if that was good for our mental health as a show.
Nah, because it's, like, once in a while. It's not like we're going to text every 5 minutes. It's just like, oh,
I
saw this.
Why do you want to take a break? Do you not love us anymore?
No. I didn't say. First of all, he's been snippy at me all week. Second of all.
I'm snippy, but I love you.
That's because he's leaving tomorrow.
That's
or
it.
2 days.
Yeah,
from now.
He's emptying the holster.
That's exactly right.
He's out until the new year.
Yeah. I love how annoyed they get whenever I say, you have a homework assignment.
No, but you know what, though? I think you got to know us a little bit better. When I had homework assignments in school, I would either copy someone's homework day of or I'd do the homework the night before. Right. I would never do homework 2 weeks before.
Know,
that's your fault, Evan. You should have phrased it differently.
Oh, how should I phrase it?
On January 2nd, holiday project for you.
Okay.
No. You say on January 2nd, come up with the list when we're back at work.
No, but you don't like. See, I guess this is the difference.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're you. You can be whoever you want. I'm going to get some downtime during the holidays. Mm-hmm. Like, my kids are going to be playing with their cousins. My wife's watching a movie, and we're relaxing. And believe it or not, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, one of the things I like to do when relaxing is think about the show. And I probably shouldn't. I admit that. Like, I'm not saying you should. You can get away from it. And so sometimes, like, my best ideas, like, I'll give you a great example. Can you pull up Lugash Debate Series theme song for me, please?
I can. Give me one moment.
All right. I'll never forget this, Teague. I am on vacation. That's when the Lugash Debate Series idea came to me, and me and my nephew played with the AI until we came up with this.
Lugash Debate Series, Lugash Debate Series, Lugash Debate Series.
So this occurred while on vacation. And I am not telling you you should do that, or Sean should do that, or anyone should do that. But that's how I work.
Dude, we vacation differently.
That's fine.
I got to get blackout drunk, urinate my pants, and then wake up and start all over again the next day.
I'm writing AI songs with my 10-year-old nephew. That's how I roll.
Totally cool.
And expect a lot of that, by the way, on January 2nd from me and my nephews and nieces. It's going to be a fun time. Oh, boy. Let's get to some of your calls. This is crazy. Let's go to Jimmy in Sag Harbor. How are you, Jimmy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
What's up?
And early Merry Christmas to you both.
Likewise.
Thank
happy
you,
holidays
too.
To you.
So I want to ask a question about what Tiki talked about before, mentioned when he was talking about Daboll and the record and a good head coach, a bad head coach.
Right.
You basically, if I heard you correctly, and by the way, you played the game, you played it brilliantly. I never played the game brilliantly or otherwise, so your opinion, I respect obviously a lot more than mine. But
it's your opinion. It is what it is.
It's an opinion. You basically said that as long as a head coach puts his players in position to make the play, be it a catch, be it a tackle, be it a run, be whatever, then he's a great head coach.
No, he's not a great head coach.
Be damned.
So much of it is managing the expectation. It's managing people, right? It's having the right attitude. Like, there's some of these coaches, I won't mention any of their names because I go into these locker rooms and do these pregame interviews with all of them. You can tell they're checked out, right? You can just feel it.
What if I wrote the name down on a piece of paper?
You can tell. You know who it is. You can just think about it, right? And so, because they're not going to be there next year,
right?
Type of thing, and so. We had Dave's last week. He's not that, right? He's fighting, right? He's enthusiastic. He's, you know, we're not crying ourselves rivers here, type of thing. Like, he understands. But my point is, he understands where he is, and it would be easy to be upset about your plight. But instead, he's still trying to make these guys better, and he understands. Okay. He understands. Like, they're compromised, man, physically. They're compromised. Talent-wise, they're not even close. The product looks like crap. And part of it is the injuries. Is part of it is just, like, the teams are better. So, again, my gut is he's the right coach. But, as Evan has said multiple times, you're 2-15? That is abysmally bad.
Yes, and that was kind of my point. I think great coaches not only put, obviously, feel free to disagree with me. I think great coaches not only put their players in position to make the play, but those players, more often than not, if you're talking about the Tomlins and the Reeves and the Shanahans and the McVays, they make the play. Why? Probably for a variety of reasons. Maybe it's fear, if you go back to Lombardi. Maybe it's such attention to detail, like with Belichick, that they practice so much everything that they do it by rote. So
yeah,
they know
but,
if they're
yeah,
on the 5-yard line,
okay,
they're not going to do an illegal shift.
But so much of it is the player. The player matters. Belichick wasn't very good those last couple of years. I don't care how great of a coach he is and how quickly he's going in the Hall of Fame once he's eligible. He was not good those last couple of years because the team was not good. Like, they did a great job, if you want to give them credit, of putting a roster together that had situational players that were perfect for every situation.
Mm.
Period.
Yeah.
Right? And you saw it from the Wes Welkers of the world to the whoever, the Gronkowskis. They were perfect for the situations that they were supposed to be in. And they were very prepared, and as he was said, and he's right, but after Tom left, after Gronk left, after they lost a couple of other key spots, they weren't good. He got fired.
You know what just hit me as you were doing that? Bill Belichick's last game he ever coached in the NFL, and ever will, because clearly he's not going to coach in the NFL ever again.
Lost to the Jets.
Was a loss to the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Bill.
Make you feel better at night?
Makes me feel better right now in the moment at 3:52 on
Thursday. You think
that's
why he wanted to come back?
Yeah.
With the Jets?
Yeah, he's got to get that taste out of his mouth.
No, seriously. I mean.
Probably. That
Think
and
how
the Shula
he despised
record.
The Jets
yeah.
and loved
yeah.
destroying the Jets.
Yeah.
And his last professional game, he lost to the Jets.
I do feel good about this now, Sean. Figgy's repeating it is actually, I'm going to get a good night's sleep because I'm going to think about that.
He lost to Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lost to Robert Saleh. Who was our quarterback that day? Was it? It wasn't Zach. Was it Zach? It was Zach. It was Zach.
Yeah, it was.
Hold on a second.
Right?
The greatest coach in the history of football coached his last game and lost to Robert Saleh, Zach Wilson, and the New York Jets.
Yeah.
That is, I mean,
right.
Let that one go down the throat. You know what I mean?
I mean, you just look at these last 4 years. Dude, 2020, they were 7-9. Cam Newton's your quarterback. Just bad. They draft Mac Jones.
Made the playoffs that year.
They go 10-7 and get roundly destroyed by the Buffalo
Some
Bills.
Some may say the Bills took their soul that night.
Took it. Crushed it. And then after that, 8-9, and then 4-13.
You know why Incredible. The Jets won that game? Patriots players, terrible Madden ratings.
I think that critique has gotten completely overblown. The Madden ratings are actually a good way to judge players. I don't think it's that crazy.
What?
They're not just a number that's thrown out there. They're scientifically studied.
Right. It's like all those people who claim they know enough about football because they have a subscription to PFF.
Exactly. Yes, that's the It's PFF.
PFF what? Will lie to you, though.
Well, they will.
It just lies to you.
Numbers lie to you a lot, too. I agree with you. Bad Tiki will join us at 4:30. We will continue our countdown, 24-24, the next four most memorable moments of the sports year. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019, plus a Pete Alonso update. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.